Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to thank you for joining us for our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. We believe God is going to speak in a supernatural way, and the Spirit of God is going to minister powerfully today. We're in expectation of a move and the presence of the Lord in a great and mighty, mighty way. There is a release of the presence, and we're excited about that. I want to take a minute to thank you for joining us. We're getting things ready. See, our team is in the back helping us with our lighting, our sound, and thank you for being here. Bless you, Sister Wendy. Thank you for being here. The Lord bless you, Anchor. Thank you for joining us. Mary Duran, thank you for being with us. We're grateful that the Spirit of the Lord is already here and He's already moving. So I'm going to ask you to, if you would, do that work of the evangelist and share the podcast. Let somebody know we're on. Kingdom Living, so good to see you. Brother Z, so good to see you. We're going to be a little shorter today with our podcast. We're going to be going live in just 20 or so, 25 minutes with our Zoom, so we can have more of an encounter face to face and share some words, and that's for everybody. I'm going to show you how you can be a part of that. Sister Bianca, greetings, so good to see you. Sister Nicole, welcome to the podcast. Let's get straight to a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that God would release His glory, His power, His wisdom, and that He would be glorified in what we're about to share. So let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll go right to the word from the Heavenly Father. We invite Your presence onto this podcast. We ask You to release wisdom, to release power, to release understanding, to release the mind of God concerning Your will and Your way and Your purpose. We pray that You would speak to us now and give us understanding and counsel. I ask You to open up the eyes and the ears of our spirit, that we would perceive, that we would hear, that we would discern the truth that makes free. I pray that every obstacle, every resistance, every hindrance to the Word of God would come under the yoke of the Word, under the yoke of the authority of the Kingdom of God. I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that You would minister to our spirits that which is good, that which is well, and that which is living, God. I ask You for miracles and signs and wonders to accompany the teaching and preaching of Your Word, and we'll be sure to give You all of the praise, all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. If somebody agrees with that, somebody say amen. So good to see you, Sister Lucinda. The Lord bless you. Brother Edmund, blessings to you as well. Thank you for being here. Sister Morgan, thank you for joining. We're going to get straight to the Word of God. We're going to our key verse. Sister Anna Rosa, the Lord bless you. Thank you for watching. We're going to get right into the Word. Romans chapter number 8, verse 21 tells us, Romans 8, verse 21. Bless you, Sister Valerie. Sister Nadine Pretorius, the Lord bless you, all the way from South Africa to you and your family. We're praying, and I know the Lord is setting something soon. We're excited about that. Denise Neal, blessings to you. Here's what Romans 8, verse 21 says. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. Now, this word children of God, this word deals with the offspring of God. Maria Lopez, so good to see you. Thank you, Denise. Thank you for joining us. Again, creation is in need of true deliverance, freedom. Everything created is subject to the leader, to the authority in that realm. And I want to encourage you, when righteousness is leading, when sons and daughters of God are in position, they will display the nature and the heart of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bless you, Joemma. So good to see you. Sister Rose Bonet, so good to see you. Welcome. But the creation itself is going to be free from the bondage or slavery of polluted power, of corrupted authority. God wants to heal, and God wants to deliver nations by putting the right men and women of God in authority. When a son or daughter is in authority, you will see blessing over cities and nations, and you will see favor and right decision. When the wicked are in authority, there's a curse on the ground. The Bible says when the wicked rule, there's a curse on the ground. When the wicked rule, there's a curse. There's a force, a power that keeps the earth under a wrong spirit. Here's what Proverbs 29:2, Let's look at that one. Proverbs, bless you, Sister Marissa. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. Chosen Few, thank you for being here. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people grieve and the people mourn. Bless you, Brother Danny. So good to see you. I'll read that again. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. There is rejoicing. There is gladness. Because righteousness exalts a nation. Again, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. It lifts a nation. But sin, I'm in Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people, a shame, but it also brings a judgment. Bless you, Sister Victoria. Welcome. Righteousness exalts a nation, a people, a city, a region, but sin. Now, the key to righteousness there is the word righteous. It's a righteous man or woman in charge. When you've got a righteous man or woman in authority, the nation begins to be blessed. When you've got a wicked man, a wicked woman in authority, the nation grieves and there's now reproach. Are you listening? So what do we need to pray as believers? Yes, I believe that we must have our hope in Jesus, that our spiritual salvation, but that spiritual salvation wants to release kingdom authority. Bless you, Shamila. So good to see you. So look at Romans 8:21, that creation will be delivered from the bondage of corrupted leadership into the glory that produces freedom that the sons and daughters of God walk in. We're going to go back to verse 18. We're going to talk a little bit today about the manifestation. Bless you, Jay. So good to see you. The manifestation. One of our partners wrote in and asked a question to our partners. We've got RTA partners, and they have access to be able to send us questions and ask us things. And God wants us as the Spirit of God to be able to respond to these questions, respond to these answers and bring revelation. And the question was, how does Jesus manifest? How can you see him manifest? How many understand Jesus is a word, he's a spirit, but the word must become flesh. Bless you, Sister Lisa. Again, that word must become flesh. The word has to become living. The word has to begin to rise into our spirit. Again, this was the exact question. I have a question. It can be provided insight. John 3:2, beloved, now are we the children, and it has not appeared what we shall be, but we know when he shall manifest, we will be like him. The question, how does God become manifest in scripture, referring to Jesus being known? How does God become manifest? I'm glad you asked, Sister Bertil, one of our partners. We want to address this, and this is something God had already put in my spirit, so you're right in the spirit. How does Christ become manifest? Let's look there at 1 John 3:2. The Bible says, when he shall appear, we will be like him. Here's what 1 John 3:2, now are we the sons of God, and it's not clear, it's not visible. It doesn't appear. So the word appear doesn't mean come. It means make known. It is the Greek word for revealed. 1 John 3:2 says that it's not clear what we shall be, or it does not appear. The word appear there, it's the word phanero, to make visible, to make known, to make manifest. Words, deeds, ways, information, revelation. So it's not clear what we will be as sons and daughters. Paul said we look through the glass darkly, but it does not appear. But we know when he shall appear, when he is clearly seen, when he manifests himself, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. I want to encourage you. Bless you, Elisa. So good to see you. We're made to be like him. We're made to talk like him. We're made to walk in humility. We're made to walk in humbleness and in service to one another. We're made to operate in these realms, but also we're made to walk in dominion like he did, to heal the sick and to raise the dead. In order for there to be a manifestation in public, there must be a private manifestation. I want to talk about that. We're going back to Romans 8, and we'll go back to verse 20. 19, Romans 8 verse 19, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The first son was manifest according to Matthew chapter 3 when he went into the water. See, Jesus was born in a manger. The angels rejoiced, the shepherds rejoiced, but Jesus, the Word, had not been formed. It took Jesus 30 years to be formed. In order for there to be manifestation, there must be formation. There must be development. Jesus prepared 30 years for 3 years of ministry. So his preparation, I won't say is more important, but it had everything to do with his purpose. You are formed and you are prepared for what God is going to manifest. Are you listening? You are the son and daughter. I'm a son. When I'm born again, it's like I'm born in that manger. But I've got to grow. I've got to mature. I've got to develop the nature of God, the character of God. I've got to develop gifting and talenting and integrity and righteousness and purity, but also precision and excellence. There is something called the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God, they developed in Jesus. Where is that in the Bible? We're gonna go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. But the Bible speaks of the seven spirits of God. This you'll find in a few different places, the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation. And the scripture tells us they are ever before the throne. We'll look at that in just a minute. The seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation deal, Revelation chapter 3 tells us, but we're staying there in Isaiah. We're going there. Revelation, we'll look over the seven spirits of God. Actually, jump to Revelation chapter 3. We'll go to verse 1 through 6 very quickly, just for context. You've got to, again, I grew up in a denomination, a Pentecostal denomination, where we just had the Holy Ghost. That's all we had, and you had to speak in tongues or you didn't have him. And that's not, well, I'm not going to get into all that biblical semantics, but you are baptized in the Holy Ghost when you speak in other tongues. But you could receive the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. Where is that in the Bible? The end of John, the Bible says Jesus breathed on the apostles and the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So they didn't speak in tongues, but they received him. Then he said, whoever sins you remit are remitted. Whoever sins you retain are retained. Then in Acts chapter 2, there's something called the baptism, which is the baptizo of the Holy Ghost that changes your tongue. So there's a baptism, but I'm not going to get into that. This is Bible. But I grew up, if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't have it. You weren't headed to heaven. Now that's not in the Bible, but that's what they taught us. I'm not going to get into those semantics. But I was taught there was one Holy Ghost. But Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church, write these things, he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars and has a name, and thou lives and art dead. I'm going to read it again. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, writes he that says these things, that has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know your works, I know thou has a name and that you live and are dead. So who is he that has the seven spirits of God? The Bible says it's like a candlestick, a menorah. A menorah has one major rod and then the other six birth from there. So the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11, verse number 1, comes upon us as we grow from a root. Here is a prophecy of Jesus, but this is a prophecy of sons and daughters of God. How does Jesus manifest to us? Because the purpose of his private manifestation is your public manifestation. God wants to manifest to you privately so you can see him, so you can walk like him and talk like him and heal like him. How do you do this? Here's what 11 verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of a stem, and its branch shall grow out of the root, planted, rooted. And there comes a seed that produces a rod that came from a stem that grew out of the roots. What does this deal with? Foundation. The word must grow in us, the mind of God, the thoughts of God. And there will come a rod, which is a rod of iron, a rulership, an authority, but this comes from a little stem that came from a root that was planted. And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature. I'm in Luke 2:52 now, in favor with God and man. He grew. He had to grow. See, he couldn't be born with it all because he wouldn't be able to tell you to do it if he didn't do it. So he grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor. Yes, was he God? Yes, but he forfeited his deity to put on humanity so we could put on his deity, his godship. Now, we're not gods. Let me make it clear. You're not, but he gives you authority to speak like he does. See, the Son of Man became like the Son of God became like the sons of men, so the sons of men could become as the sons of God. Look at verse 2. So there comes a rod. Then the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord. I believe that to be the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Bible says Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the owner, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of El Shaddai. But once the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, we must develop the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord is number one. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. In order for you to be a bride that will meet with your husband, men, you've got to have wisdom. Where is that in the Bible? You've got to love wisdom. You cannot be ignorant. I cannot be without knowledge. Ignorant is not stupid. Ignorant means a lack of knowledge. Not knowing. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There were 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. The 5 that had wisdom were likened unto brides that had oil in their lamp and kept the fire burning. The 5 that were foolish had no oil and they couldn't sustain fire. I said, Lord, help me understand. He said, son, the wise women, the wise brides, their wisdom was oil that kept the fire burning. When you have no wisdom, you have no oil. See, those who will sustain in the next generation seek the wisdom that is from above before. They seek the mind of God. They talk a certain way. They speak a certain dialect. They've got a certain measure of word within their word. They talk, and many are imitators, but there are those that are originators. They are originators that come from God, not each other. That's not wrong to receive truth. Truth is eternal, but there is the original copy, and that is Jesus, and we become a duplicate of that copy. So number one, it is the Spirit of the Lord. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, the Spirit of understanding. When you get the mind of God, you will stand under an open heaven. You will perceive the things of God. You will understand seasons and times. You will have comprehension. How many have ever said, God, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going to? And the reason the trial stays so long, we don't get understanding. In all you're getting, get understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel. This word counsel deals with discernment. Blessings, Sister Jennifer, the Lord bless you. The Spirit of discernment, the Spirit to know between good and evil. Bless you, Royal Queen. So good to see you, woman of God. We taught this last night in the Zoom with Freedom Self. Hebrews says that strong meat is for the mature that have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You've got to know what God says good, you say is good, and what God says evil, you say is evil. See, when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now they could have an opinion outside of God. Now they could call evil what God calls good, and they could call good what God calls evil. See, I've got to forfeit my opinion because one word for glory is the opinion of God. My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. But God's opinions matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. Mine doesn't matter. What is God's decision? What is God's opinion? So when you partake of the tree of life, you leave the tree of the knowledge of your own good and your own evil. That's right. Sister Rose, Isaiah 55 verse 20 says that there will be a people that are cursed because they call evil good. The word woe is cursed beyond measure. They call evil good and good evil. They call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. They call light darkness. They are perverted in their measuring rod. Counsel. Number 5, the Spirit of might, ability, power. See, when you start adding wisdom and revelation and knowledge and the spirit of the owner, the spirit of discipline, when you start adding these, you'll see power come upon you, dunamis, ability, virtue. I'm going to get a little bit deeper in this in a Zoom in just a minute. We're going to cross over and start teaching in the Zoom. I've got just a minute or two left. Knowledge, which is the ability to know mysteries, knowledge, understanding. We're going to break these words down in the Hebrew a little bit in our Zoom in just a few minutes. And then something called the fear of the Lord. Knowledge and then the fear of the Lord is seven. Knowledge and the fear of the Lord is seven. The seven spirits of God are requisite to prepare you for manifestation. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this. We're going to read Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 3. And then we're going to read also John 14, 21. Actually, read John 14, 21 first. We'll go over. Jesus said, I want to manifest to you. He that has my words, my commandments, and he is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. He that has them, verse 19 and 20 deals with keeping the commandments. Now the word keep doesn't mean just to keep them. Actually, go back to 21, we'll stay there. He that has my commandments and keeps them. You wanna know what commandment is? Is it rule? Not necessarily. It is a prescription. It is a word. Now, yes, it will discipline you what to do and what not to do, but it's more than that. It's staying in the spirit, staying in the realm of the anointing. How do I get God to manifest? He that has my commandments and stays in them, staying in the word, staying in the spirit. He that has them is he that loves me and shall be loved of my Father, and I will reveal myself. Let's read Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. And we're going to move over to our Zoom. Actually, go to verse 2. It says, set your affection on what is above. When you set your mind and your emotion and your will in the heavenly places and you stay there. Bless you, Brother Daniel. See, prophetic people are emotional people. Prophetic people they move by intuition and premonition, but let those intuitions and premonitions, those signs be rooted in the word. You know, dreams and visions are wonderful, but dreams and visions have to be interpreted clearly to know the right direction on what to do with them. What do I do with those? That's why we need fathers and mothers in the kingdom. But when you set your affections on the spiritual things and not the earthly things, and you stay there. The word set doesn't mean visit on the weekend. Gird your emotion, gird your mind. I'm out of time. Then verse number 3 says, for we are dead and our life is hid with Christ. I'm dead. When I said yes to Jesus, I died. And the life of God is hidden with Christ inside. It's hidden in Christ in me. Verse number 4, here's what it says. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will also appear in glory. Well, that sounds like heaven. No, sir. He wants to manifest glory in the earth. I'm done. I'm going to ask you if you want to join us in just a few minutes. They're going to put up an email on the line. I'm going to get off and give you 5 minutes. And it is rtanationspartner@gmail.com. We're going to be on this private Zoom in just a moment. Bless you, Pastora Madeline. So good to see you. And there is no cost to get into this Zoom. We'll be finishing the last part of this together on the Zoom. Gonna have some Q&As, some prayer requests. You can let me know your prayer requests. We're gonna pray over that. And then Friday night will be a private Zoom with a special guest with me. That's just for partners only. And I'm bringing on a special guest Friday night at 9 p.m. That's for international guests, those in South Africa, 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, 10:30 maximum. I know there's a lot of early birds, but it's Friday. Y'all are going to be all right on Friday. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to pray for you. Lord, bless the people. I pray that there would be a release over them, that in a moment as we switch over to this Zoom, that you speak to our minds and you give us greater revelation on how Christ manifests to us and then through us. How the God of heaven will manifest in privately then publicly there will be a manifestation of the sons and daughters of God in the earth realm. Speak to us now. Give us wisdom. Give us revelation in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.